Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight. Every color of day. Whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 203rd episode of Dave's Gone By, right here on AM 1240 WGBB. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, the host since 2002 of this extravaganza, here with you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight. And yes, once again, I'm joined so merrily and happily by my guest co-host, Jeff Goodman. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Fine, but I wouldn't want to stump you on anything.
Now, for those of you who weren't listening to the Dave's Gone
By 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, right. Like, just before our little announcement there, Jeff was talking about The Amazing Race, and not Jews. I'm talking about a show on TV called The Amazing Race. And the most recent, shall we say, string of episodes had one...
No, most recent race.
Yes, The Most Recent Race had a woman who, unlike the... you know the famous Peter Cook and Dudley Moore sketch of the one-legged man who wanted to be Tarzan?
No.
And Peter Cook is interviewing Dudley Moore and asking him why he wants to have this role. And Moore is giving all these answers and stuff. And Peter Cook says, look, I have nothing against your left leg. It's a lovely thing. It's perfectly formed. It supports you well. Nothing at all against your left leg. Unfortunately, neither have you. Well, it was funnier when he did it. And it was funnier when I was goofing on it in the last show. See, my bone was broken.
I didn't find this funny at all. Dave thought the one-legged woman running the Amazing Race was the funniest thing ever.
Well, the thing is, she can never get lost because she's going to leave this trail.
I know, and she keeps running in circles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I didn't think of that one. That's very good. That's only if she has a wooden leg and it's in the ground, kind of a thing.
Her name would be Peg.
Peg. I did that joke 5 minutes ago.
Know.
Okay, just.
I just wanted to show you how lame it was.
Thank you. Was that intentional?
Yes.
Nicely done. Nice riposte. Or a riposte made of wood like her leg. But anyway, speaking of riposts and rijokes, this radio program of comedy, talk radio, music, interviews, and stuff, well, it's what we try and do every single week on this show.
Try being the operative word.
Yeah, we don't always succeed. But I think we're going to have a great show tonight because it's going to be a pretty crowded and good, fun, busy show. First of all, we're going to have a guest, hopefully going to be calling in very, very soon.
Ooh, a live guest.
A live guest, or I may have to end up calling him, but his name is George Navrotis, and he's a friend of mine for a few years now.
You friends?
Okay,
this is like shocking. This is very shocking.
Well, first of all, he has two legs.
Newsflash. Go ahead.
Not like I associate with cribbles. No, just teasing.
David,
I'm
stop
just
it.
Kidding. George is a really, really great guy. Very talented fella.
What does he do?
Well, his job, he does a lot of tech stuff. Internet tech, phone, telephone tech, and he designs websites and he does
things
like that.
Oh, can he fix my computer?
Probably. I don't know if he does that kind of tech. I think he can wire
can
your
I ask
computer
him when he's on the air?
To a network of others. Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm going to ask him possibly to help redo my website, which has needed redoing for years.
You're
so
telling me.
Yes, I am telling you. I'm telling everybody. Okay. I am telling you along with everybody.
Nice.
So anyway, George is really cool. He was building up this business. He was making good money in...
And what happened?
And what happened was he just was kind of losing touch with his family. And not really having a good time making good money.
So did his business lose its legs?
We're off that topic. That's why those jokes aren't funny anymore. They were funny when I was making them.
Oh, yeah,
up until I started making them again after the break. So we shouldn't break. We just go straight through.
Right. They weren't funny in the first place.
Yeah, they were moderately amusing.
Skosh.
I like that. A skosh amusement. So... He moved to the Dominican Republic. And he's been living there for the past 3 years, trying to have a business there. So, actually, that may be him on the phone now.
I see some flashes of light. So, I will talk to everyone about The Amazing Race. How's that?
Okay.
What do you want me to talk? Well, let's talk about travel. I'll tell you about my upcoming travel, actually. Because speaking about stuff like that, I would never think to move there. But I have really thought about moving to places like Costa Rica. If anyone's been to Costa Rica, give us a call at 631-888-8811. Or if you have a question for anything about what we've been doing, call us at 631-888-8811.
Well, not right now. We can't really talk to you.
No, but we're
going
to talk to George.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to him about, you know, going to wherever.
Right, you know, Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, because I was just saying, I thought, you know, a lot of people move to Costa Rica and stuff like that. I personally love Thailand, but Dominican Republic is kind of odd, isn't it?
Nothing odd about it. It's still pretty much a vacation spot, but it's a little less, shall we say, perhaps developed than Aruba.
Is it like a big tax shelter place?
Well, we're gonna hear. Well, I don't know if we're gonna hear about that part. But
okay, well, let's talk to them.
Well, okay, let me just tell the people.
You can now go take a pee because David's gonna give his 45-minute intro for the 15-minute segment.
Yes, this is true. Well, no, that's all we're gonna ask him because he apparently has these really cool anecdotes of life in the Dominican Republic and trying to set up a business there.
Is he calling from the Dominican Republic?
Yes.
Really? This is a long-distance phone call.
I know.
And you put him on hold?
Yeah, for 10, 20 minutes. No, while my intro. But also, I want to tell people what else is going to be on the program. I'm going to, if there's time, talk about the urge to surge, the George Bush announcement this week. That should be fun.
Yeah, we need more troops in there.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much my response.
How about the fact that he's making the troops stay longer? There's some troops that are actually, this is true, they're over there for 2 years, and they think they're coming home, and they haven't told them that they're going to make them stay an extra 6 months.
That's all part of it, too. I mean, there's so much to discuss. Hopefully, we'll have time to talk about that, as well as a short Inside Broadway segment telling people what's happening on and off Broadway. And
what's happening?
Well, we'll wait until the segment.
I can't wait.
And also, I'll hopefully have time to review a very, very good new, well, not so new, off-Broadway show called No Child. That's
really?
A really, really very fine one-woman show. Hopefully there'll be time for all of that after we talk to George, but also we say hi to our wonderful sponsors.
MortgagesRock.com.
Yes, MortgagesRock.com.
Hewlett Miniman Press.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave's wonderful magazine.
Performing Arts Insider.
The Bible of Broadway.
That's right, PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information about that. Hewlett Miniman Press is located on Broadway in Hewlett next to
you. You didn't say
Lunches.
For more information on your magazine, way to call. You just said for more information on that.
PerformingArtsInsider.com. I didn't say the.
That's right. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. You can do it.
Yeah, and
Hewlett Miniman Press, which is across from the burning buildings in Hewlett.
That's right. And MortgagesRock.com, which amazingly enough is located on the internet at MortgagesRock.com. There you go. And there's one other sponsor. They're kind of crappy, but we might as well.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about them, don't I? Fancy Schmancy Blooms.
That is correct.
The place to call for all your party decorating needs.
Right.
Which surviving is not on the web. How odd is that?
We still don't have it. Well, maybe you should talk to George about getting the website, you know.
But you can get there by dialing 516-797-3229.
Once again.
516-797-3229. Okay. Let's talk to George.
Well, no, let's do a couple of commercials.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll be right back to talk to George Navrogas about life in Santo Domingo. Where is that? What tribe is that? It's the one-legged Hutu tribe.
Shut up with the one-legged stuff already.
Terrific, terrific, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's terrific to be here with you on this Sunday night, January 14th. It's terrific to be with my great co-host, Jeff Goodman.
As always.
And it's even more terrific to have on the phone, calling from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, my good friend, George Navrogas. Good evening, George. How are you? George?
Hey, great, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it sounds like we're going to have one of those phone delay things. So it's going to be about 2 seconds between what I say and what you say.
Okay. I'll try to be patient.
So will we. But, hey, we've known each other, I guess, gosh, it must be about 8 or 9 years now.
How do you live, George?
What do you mean, how do you live?
How could he stand dealing with you for 8 or 9 years? Oh, I know you for like 8 or 9 months, and I've had it up with to here with you.
Well, why do you think he moved?
Okay.
Well, why did you move to Santo Domingo, George?
Well, I was seeking for a quality of life that I couldn't quite find in the States. I'm New York most of my life, and the fast-paced world of working hard and never having enough time for your kids and your wife. And so we decided to take the risk, a big risk that was. We didn't know what we were getting into, but...
Was it worth it?
We decided to come here just to see if we can change our lives.
And was it worth it?
Yes. Thank God. I mean, it's been a real blessing, and, look, the real truth is that many good things have happened that has allowed me to stay here because the job market isn't so great here.
It's not so wonderful here.
A lot of things. But there's a lot of things here that make it very challenging, especially coming from a very organized society like America.
Like what?
With systems in place. Well, for instance, cold showers. You don't have hot water here all the time, which is a real doozy.
It must make you sexually especially frustrated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'd love to have sex with you. I'd like to have sex with you, honey, but the shower's not warm.
Well, what do you do?
I grew up taking hot showers all my life, and I had to learn how to take cold showers. Power failures, big time power failures. You know, sometimes you have between 8 to 12 hours a day of power failures.
Now, wait a minute.
It forces you to slow down. Yeah.
Well, how do you have a business where, as you said, 8 to 12 hours, I assume during the day and not during the evening when not as many people would mind, you're in computers. How do you run a computer business with no electricity for 12 hours?
George?
Very good question.
Basically,
the what people do here is they buy an inverter and generators and batteries and...
I was going to suggest that,
George.
We're backed
up by our own supply of electricity. We have to do it that way. And that's why this is a third world country. It doesn't progress. People can't do business here. And it's a poor country. And it's because of reasons like that.
Well, it sounds like the same problems that Baghdad is having. What's the solution? Is it a corrupt government? Why is that a problem still?
No, they just don't have the infrastructure.
Yeah, it's really corruption. The main reason why this country has not... progress.
Score one for Dave.
Is because of corruption. You know, you have a lot of politicians here that just don't function properly. There's a lot of drug smuggling, a lot of dirty money laundering, and that seems to be the biggest problem.
So that is a healthy environment to raise your children in, isn't it?
And we know George is going to be disappearing tomorrow. I mean, a special...
So, George, what time zone are you in?
I'm 1 hour ahead of you guys right now.
And what time zone is that called?
Yes, Eastern time zone.
No, but you're an hour later than you're an hour earlier than Eastern.
Wait, sorry, is it 10:15 there?
No, it's 12:15. It's just after midnight.
It's 12:15.
So it's not Eastern time zone. It should be.
Well, it's considered still Eastern time zone. I don't know the specifics, but we consider ourselves...
George, I might suggest calling it the George time zone, because it is a different time zone, and you can name it after yourself.
That's true.
Then Nevrotis. Is that sort of... is it Greek or Turkish, your name? I forget again.
Greek. Greek.
Cool.
Opa.
Opa. Uzo. And I don't know any other words.
Zorba.
He came into the Dominican Republic through the back door, I guess. No, I don't know what that means. Doesn't mean anything.
David is like on the stroll. Do you know anyone with one leg? He'd like to really make them miserable.
Well, I'll bet, speaking of people, I'll bet you have seen millions of traffic accidents since you've been to the Dominican Republic. Because the way your notes to that place. Like, what's wrong with the roads and the traffic there?
I'll tell you some funny things that really...
Oh, don't make this fun. We wouldn't want this show to be fun.
Heaven forbid.
Well, one of the funniest things that I've observed in this country is because there is corruption here, there are no rules. And what I'm trying to get at is, basically, like, for instance, cars. You know, in the United States, everybody has a front windshield. Well, in this case, in this country, there are many cases where people don't have front windshields. And I found that very entertaining when I first came to the country. And then when it rains, you know, you don't have a windshield, and boy, it's tough, but, you know, people handle it somehow.
And they still drive. And they drive in the rain with no windshield.
You have to have those glasses with those little wipers on them.
And I'll tell you something that really cracks me up, an experience I had. Well, you know, you get used to it after a while. You see an open windshield in the front once in a while. You know, after you see it a couple of times, it's not a big deal. But
yeah, I guess.
It's just hard to keep that radio in.
In this country, what's pretty prevalent in this country is that people don't people go in the streets of the poor country and they wash windows, you know. You have windshield wipers.
Yeah. What do they do?
Whoops, a little window
in
your face.
I'll wash your shirt.
Well, in this case, what happened was that I was at a red light, and what windshield wipers often try to do once in a while, because if they ask for permission to wash your window, usually people say no. So they try to be very aggressive. And sometimes what they'll do is, from a distance, they'll take their sponge and they'll throw it to the window to try to hit it. Well, in this case, it was the car here which had no window. And the sponge actually hit the guy in the face.
God.
I thought that was kind of entertaining.
SpongeBob.
I mean,
and then he crashed and died. Yeah, no. And then, of course, you've got the Polish residents of the Dominican Republic who don't have windshields or windows, and yet they still have big alarms on their cars. That's how they keep the criminals out. It's like, they can't get through my door. Okay, I thought it was...
Yeah.
Jeff is smirking but not laughing. I think that's funny. All right. Well, George is laughing.
No, he's not. He's
I'll
just
tell
being
some
polite.
Other funny things that happen in this country that you might find amusing also, which is very different.
Yeah.
Is that you have cars like taxis that pack about 7 people in the back of a Toyota Corolla. And that's quite challenging when you're trying to get a cab. You know, that's kind of amusing when you see that.
Oh, not the clowns.
Not to be, shall we say, well, morbid, or yet to make light of something that's really, really sad, and yet it was kind of funny when
I'll
you
keep
told
going. I have a big question for him.
No.
Go ahead.
George's wife's aunt died this week.
Oh, I'm sorry about
that,
George.
Yeah, nothing funny about that.
Yeah.
Except, and I was on the phone with George when he was telling me that he just got the call that it happened.
All right. It's hilarious. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, except there's not apparently such a thing as ambulances in the Dominican Republic. How can there not be ambulances in the Dominican Republic?
They don't get anywhere fast.
So how did you end up coping with a dead body?
I actually just got educated. The police actually got themselves involved, and somehow they rearranged. The police department came down, and I wasn't there. I don't know exactly the details. I can't elaborate.
Oh, I thought you were physically heading there to deal with the,
Now, George, I just want to, since this is a country with very few rules and stuff like that, how do you find raising children there, though, with the education? What kind of education are they getting, and how do... You know, they're not really being taught by example, except hopefully from you.
Well, basically, my wife and I were Christians, and we go to church, we go to an American church, and we try to lead by example. It's tough.
What kind of school do your kids go to?
It's a reality. But you know, there's many ways to actually help people in this country that don't have the advantages that we have. And so what we do is, like, for instance, I have a charitable organization with a good friend, Spiro, and we go out in the streets, we go to the orphanages, we give food out to people, and we do, we help the missionaries, and we do a lot of good things. We could teach our kids by just doing good things. Like
so they follow your example.
School is a challenge.
School is
a challenge. You can send them to American schools, private American schools here.
Okay.
We happen to select a school called the International School.
Okay.
It's a fantastic school. It's a bilingual school. And it's also a baccalaureate school. So
they teach academics on
a level, of the same level as America.
Oh.
Now the language is French, right?
Yes, sir.
So your kids are bilingual in French and English?
No, not the French. Spanish and English.
But the language is Spanish?
It's Spanish, and then you have the neighboring Haiti, which is French and Creole.
Oh.
Wow.
But it's predominantly in this country, Dominican Republic, they only speak Spanish. and some English here and there.
Okay. Now, also, what in God's name make you go there? When did you think about, oh, maybe I'll just go to the Dominican Republic? Why didn't you think? Because I know a lot of people go to Costa Rica. A lot of people go to other places. But Dominican Republic is not like some place that I normally hear people moving to.
Actually, that's not necessarily true. It's the biggest island in the Caribbean, and there's more people probably coming into this country. Well, Costa Rica is Central America, but in the Caribbean, in this country, it's probably more people from America coming in this country than any other country in the Caribbean, because it has an industry. It's a big population. There is business. Big companies are here.
What is like the...
And then the weather is pretty nice. I mean, if you can deal with the downsides, like the hot water, the power failures, the corruption, lack of systems, and thievery, security is a real issue. People pack a gun, for instance. Not a problem. It's not
a pack heat, as it were?
No, my values don't. You know, I live by faith, but a lot of people here do. Not everybody, but a lot of people do, and it's normal.
Wow.
It's just a different reality. It's hard for people to understand that from the States. I can hear people saying, this guy's crazy. But
and what is the crime rate like there?
It's pretty bad. It's
I mean, a violent crime or just
kidnapping? Just kidnapping here and there. Not that often, but there is. But primarily break-ins, you know, because there is a big division between the wealthy class and the lower class. And what happens is that people break into homes, and that's the primary problem.
And it's starting to happen here, so...
use any means to do that. Sorry?
And I'm saying, we're having break-ins and home invasions here.
Yeah.
It's become a big deal on Long Island in some of the nicer neighborhoods.
Now, also, onto another subject that's really, really important. What's your television like?
Oh, yeah.
What do you get on TV? Do you get to see The Amazing Race?
Or whatever.
What kind of television do you
get? What do you watch on TV?
Is there television? How do you get your news?
You have satellite TV, you have cable TV. This is a very developed country for a Caribbean country.
What kind of satellite do you get? Any station?
Well, I'll be very honest with you. We don't have television in our house. I just forbid it to be here. I think it's really a poison for people. So.
Really?
I don't like to expose. Yeah,
I'll never get along, George. I live for the television.
Well, do you ever miss it, or are you just happy you've got other things to do? You read, you pray, you go out into the community.
I work. You know, I have a company, a web development company, and then and spend quiet time with my kids, you know, read my Bible. And we, of course, go out in the streets, and we feed people every day, 5 days a week. And on the weekends, we go out in the field and try to help people out.
But George, I must tell you one thing. You really have to watch The Amazing Race. It's really the best thing on TV.
Well, they'll probably set the next one. Go next door.
On CBS. It's a wonderful, wonderful.
What is this with you and The Amazing
Race? I like that show. You didn't know that?
Well, yeah, you're getting on me for mentioning the one-legged woman. Do you have a lot of
Dave was really lapping it up when I told him there was a one-legged woman who was very inspirational doing The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
She was doing all these things, and they gave her no extra things.
Yeah.
She had a race against all these normal people in their pairs. She and her boyfriend raced against 10 other teams of two.
Okay, yeah.
And did quite well.
So let's talk about The Amazing Race instead of a man who lives in a country we've never been to.
No, I just wanted to tell him. That
okay.
It was kind of a joke, and
thank
then he got really serious. I remember. But The Amazing Race is great. So,
okay,
George, go watch the television for that.
Okay.
Anyway.
And it's wholesome.
Well, yeah, actually, well, I guess it is. It's more than the other reality shows. By the way,
you guys want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
Want to hear something comical?
Why would we want anything comical on this show?
My wife and I went to the beach, and we went to a beach called Boca Chica.
Uh-huh.
And they had a store with a sign that said "Bathing Suits for Rent."
Ew. Did you rent the bathing suit from? No, I assume they sterilize
it. Come on, Dave.
And they just rinse it. If there's a stain, they rinse. If not, it goes right back out again.
Exactly.
That's disgusting.
Well, yeah, but you know what? How many times have you gone to a shul and there was like the pile of yarmulkes or something like that?
I don't use them.
Well, I have. You know, people take them off their heads. They put it back in.
It's lice infected. That's how they get lice.
It could be lice infected. Well, but you take your chances. You figure God's watching out for your head. and he's not going to let lice go.
That's why older Jews have bald spots.
Anywho, how about one or two more cute anecdotes from life in the Dominican Republic from my good friend George Navrotis? Any other cute things?
Do you ever see Miss Dominican Republic walking around?
I can tell you one thing you cannot do in this country is that you can never, never ask for directions. Actually, it's a cultural trait in this country that I found out very quickly that people never like to disappoint you. And so even if it takes lying to you,
that's
they will tell you, they will give you an answer, even if they have to dream it up. But they will.
That's very funny because I go to Thailand a lot, and it's another cultural thing in Thailand. They don't want to be rude to you. So even if you're wrong, they'll just smile and say yes. Yes, you know, you have to ask them very specific questions because is this the way to so-and-so? They'll just go yes, even if it's not, because they don't want to be rude.
Oh, man.
Isn't that hilarious?
I gotta go date some girls there. No, I'm kidding.
Another thing that I thought would be funny to share also is that people don't respect the traffic order at all here, especially at night. Everybody takes a red light. It's just because the red light, and they look both ways. Sometimes they don't even look both ways. They take it. So
traffic lights are optional in the Dominican Republic.
Well, they're like fast signs.
No, understand. Now, are you in, like, a major, major city? Or are you on the outskirts? Are you in the suburbs? Where are you in relation to what one would assume is the city?
I'm in the Santo Domingo, the capital, the center of the hub of...
Mm-hmm.
I can't begin to think how... You must have it, like, a little more industrialized and modern than, like... people 10 miles out.
Yes, of course. Yes. I mean, it's quite a difference between the city and 10 miles out. I mean, people live in shacks, shanty houses.
Mm-hmm. And what's your home like?
Very poor condition.
Good question. Yeah.
What is your home like?
No, I have a concrete house. It's flat. You know, I don't know how to tell you.
Is it a one-story or two stories?
No, it's one story.
How many bedrooms?
Just a regular house, you know, driveway, picket fence, yard.
Oh.
A lot of caging. That's another thing that's in this country. Caging. You know, every window has a cage.
Oh.
On it. You know, you have the metal gate.
Break-ins, robberies and stuff.
So it's basically Little Brooklyn, pretty much.
And how much does that go for in... First of all, what is the currency there? And how much is the house... The peso.
So what is it for an American dollar?
I would say about $60,000.
Wait, what?
For a three-bedroom house.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, but in other words, like, what is a dollar to a peso these days in Santo Domingo? How many pesos to the dollar?
34. 34 pesos to the dollar.
Cool.
And so about $60,000 is a nice three-bedroom home? Is that what you'd say?
No. That still sounds pretty high considering it's a third-world country.
Well, let him answer.
Okay.
I'm talking about right down the middle here. There's you can find here $500,000 homes and apartments with no problem.
Well, because they probably have all the generators in the buildings, right?
Yeah, they most of them are backed up by generators, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find a nice $8 hut. Oh.
Now, how far do you live from the coastline?
Like 5 minutes by car. I'm right on the water.
Mm.
The water. But it's not a beachfront. It's more rocky, and you don't go swimming there.
Oh, really? Where do you go
swimming? Hotels dump garbage in there. And a lot of the facilities.
Well, they have very big toilets.
They're not, you know, like I said, there's a lot of corruption here. So there's a lot of abuse, you know. There's a lot of risks that are taken. But, you know, you got to take your precautions. You learn how to take precautions. You're careful with things.
Mm-hmm. Now, how often do you get back to the United States?
Well, the last time I was there was actually 2 months ago. My dad passed away, but I was going there every 3-4 months.
Really?
Well, for business.
And then before that, I was traveling every 2 weeks because I was working for Verizon actually in the States for about a year and a half while my family was here.
Wow!
So literally every 2 weeks he would commute back and
forth. How far is it, and about how much is the airfare?
It's about 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Well, that's not bad.
Direct flight.
Like not Florida.
And do the major airlines, I assume they go, or do you take a little sort of...
Air Dominica.
Right.
No, I take a direct flight right down here.
By what airline?
American, Delta,
oh.
JetBlue.
Really? JetBlue?
NLL. Sure. Or some stranger. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, George, just let everybody know, if they, you still, as you said, even though you're dealing with the problems in Santo Domingo and trying to have a business there, despite, I mean, you have a generator in case there are blackouts, and you have a whole staff with you. You design websites, you do computer type stuff. How do people find out about you, and how, you know, tell just a little bit about your company.
We have a company that's basically an outsourced company where you can get a website for half the price that you get in the United States, because
we'll take
it. I plugged local talent here, which is very good. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the opportunities. And I'm the go-between. But basically, you save big time money. It's called Wow My Site.
W-O-W.
It's a professional website.
Yeah. Wow
W-O-W, My Site. MYSITE. WowMySite.com.
Well, everybody,
and,
check. Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to plug that in. But
well, how much do you charge for a normal website?
It depends what's there, but a basic site, you can, you know, for like $600, good quality website. We have a portfolio on there. You can see a sample of different sites there. You know, the labor is cheap here. So what I do is I take the labor and I apply the American system and American mentality, and I'm able to. We have, you know, quite a bit of clients and people that we outsource work to other web development companies that are in the States. We do their work. They solicit to the American public, but they outsource it to us, and we develop the work for them.
Well, everybody, it's Wow.
We do a lot of that.
WowMySite.com, owned and operated by George Nerogas, my good friend George, who I want to wish, you know, as you would say, blessings and good things to in 2007. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on Dave's Gone By. George, we'll be in touch soon, I'm sure. And most happy New Year to you. What are your hopes and plans for 2007 before I let you go?
Happiness, health, and security on
the
island. And,
you want Miss Dominican Republic to become Miss Universe, and maybe Donald Trump can give her a second chance?
But I'll be friends with you guys. Right? Great show. You guys sound great. All the best to you guys.
Well,
thank you for having me on the show.
Same to you.
A pleasure, George. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much for being in the neighborhood, George Nerogas. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Well, that was cool. That was fun. Ladies and gentlemen, George Nerogas from WowMySite.com in the Dominican Republic.
In the Nerogas time zone.
Yeah, that's right. 1 hour. That's what we got. Cause we never assumed there was another time zone because
I know there's
England.
Another time zone.
Well,
because South America is there and stuff like
yeah.
that, but I never knew what it was called. Now I know it's the Nerogas Zone. Yeah. You have entered the Nerogas Zone.
And we will be back in the Nerogas Zone after we do some Eastern Time Zone commercials.
Let's do a little business, Dave.
Yeah. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Jeff is making a disgusting hand signal when I play this.
I have no idea what Dave going off is.
Oh, well, I'll explain. Dave goes off on a rant, on a topic, on some thoughts in my head that need to come out. It goes off, not the other verb. Shame on you, Jeffrey Goodman.
I didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything, but you've got your, well, anyway. You can imagine a hand gesture, ladies and gentlemen.
No, they can't.
It's a hand gesture that we would both, I assume, give to our commander-in-chief.
He's the king of segues.
I thought that was pretty good, considering George Bush and his announcement. I mean, they expected it for a week.
Are you calling him a jerk off the top of your head?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and so should pretty much everybody at this point, except John McCain, who is going to probably cost himself the election by backing George on this one. So here's the deal. I mean, I got... Not that I need to explain this, but George Bush went on the air this Wednesday with his little address to the nation saying, hey, we made some mistakes in Iraq. We didn't have enough people.
Mistakes? I've made a few.
He's made a million of them lately.
But then again, a few too much to mention.
So why not make some more? We'll up the score with our intervention. So anyway.
I guess he's doing it his way.
Yeah, well, it's nobody else's way. Nobody agrees with him anymore. And he's on his own. First he was clinging like the trunk of the tree. Then he climbed up and went off on a branch. Then he went, you know, off the limb. He's clinging to a leaf now. And he's saying, okay, on this leaf, I'm going to still win this war for America. And meanwhile, it's like the Arabs are sawing, you know, the Democrats are hacking away. and he's still clinging to the leaf. But, of course, the oil companies are buttressing him all around. And the Christian righteous.
You don't know that he's actually clinging to a leaf, but standing on a giant barrel of oil.
Yeah, nicely put. A barrel of oil that, even though somehow the price keeps going down, the pumps keep going up. Anyway, let me do my spiel, and then you can kind of chime in.
Spiel away, Dave.
Spieling away. I guess George Bush's motto is, if you're going to fail, fail big. I mean, we all know it's the same old song I've told a million times. I'm going to tell it again because they don't seem to listen. We all know, here's the chorus, we shouldn't have gone into Iraq in the first place. It was the wrong country at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. Afghanistan, okay, it was a response to 9/11. Should we perhaps have gone into Saudi Arabia or Pakistan, our so-called friends? Should we have gone into Iran? Possibly, yes. But no, we go to the place where his dad sort of half won, half lost a war a bunch of years ago just to prove a point, and gets us there. And even though the Democrats were telling him a million times 5 years ago, why are you doing this? What is your exit strategy? What do you hope to accomplish after you depose Saddam Hussein? And he was just saying, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. He came to that bridge 3 months after the war started, and he still doesn't know what he's doing in the middle of the bridge. We were lied to. He goaded the Democrats into voting for it. So now, of course, the Republicans can say of the Democratic congressman who did vote for it, well, you voted for it, even though they voted for it based on his lies and the whole weapons of mass destruction thing, or saying that Iraq had to do with terrorism, that it did not. You know, or even if there had been weapons of mass destruction, and Saddam did use poison gas against his enemies were our enemies, too. He saved us having to kill these people by himself.
No, that's not really true.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
Well, because it was the Kurds and the Sunnis. You know, he was Kurdish.
Yeah.
And he was killing Sunnis. I think he was Kurdish, and he was killing Sunnis. And they weren't really our enemies.
Well, except Sunni Bono. But anyway, now I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God.
So, either way, he was a terrible man. Terrible dictators. Kids were worse. But he wasn't our problem. Now the whole country is our problem, thanks to George and his tactics. So, what does he do? So we go in there. He gets the okay to go in, and he goes in, same as in Vietnam, with not enough troops to actually do the job. He ousted Saddam. Beautiful job. We lost maybe 100 people.
Him in a hole.
Yeah, we got whether we found him or not. The fact that he was out of power, fine. They had the blue thumbs of people voting, whatever.
The blue thumb.
But we stayed there, and we stayed there without enough people, and we stayed on the ground instead of going home. And now, instead of going home, which we can, it's like we're going to send more kids there. And not just what I would say maybe for a week or two, just to help bring everybody home so that there's ground cover
and air
cover. I don't
think you can go to Iraq for a week or two.
I'm serious.
Guess where you're going on vacation? Iraq.
That's all it would have to be. You get them in there for 2 or 3 weeks just to get everybody out, and you go. Now, and you get, like, John McCain, the one person who's out there backing George Bush up and staking his claim for a presidential spot on backing him up. He's worried, oh, if we leave, the country's going to go into civil war and chaos. Hello, we're already there. We caused the civil war and chaos by going in. What was it, a stable, quote-unquote, dictatorship that the Americans didn't have to worry about? So if my question, or my thing is, if it does go into civil war, who cares? If Iraq becomes a nasty little theocracy like Iran does, okay, it's nasty, it's rotten, we're out of there, our boys aren't being killed, and if they become a real problem or terrorist threat, what is stopping us from just going back in? We can, just because you go doesn't mean you can't come back if necessary. At least we're not there getting the aftershocks of death and chaos. I mean, do you agree with this, Jeff?
Somewhat.
Well, what's the part that you're sort of...
I do think that we have a responsibility to the people of Iraq, now that we've screwed them up totally, to unscrew them as it were.
Well, they got to unscrew themselves at this point. They've got 4 years.
I'm not so sure civil war is a bad thing for the country because it has to solve its own problems. But, you know, I do think the United States has a little bit to blame, but...
Oh, we have a lot of blame.
But I don't, you know, I think that now is the time we could back out and say, oops, you know, so sorry.
Get out! If we need to, if they have a civil war and install a lunatic dictator, or like a similar guy to Iran, Ahmadinejad, Dijad, or however that idiot calls his name, we can just go back and do another airstrike. We're good at that. We can go by plane, bomb and bomb and bomb.
But that's like
kill
saying,
50,000.
But Dave, that's like saying, okay, we're going to let you do what you want, but if you don't do what we want, we're going to bomb you.
That's exactly, well, it's almost what's happening in with the Palestinians. When you elect Hamas, and we say, okay, we'll get you democracy, we're happy,
So we're not bombing them, we're just financially crippling them,
yeah.
which is, I think, fine, too.
Yeah.
I think that, I think that's how we should work with the world's, the other countries in this world, is just do it on an economic basis.
Like
but if you don't agree with us and if you don't like the United States, it's okay. Don't take our money. We're not gonna intervene, but it's okay. You don't just don't take our money. Yeah. We're not giving you anything, and that's all right. And when you decide if you want to do stuff that we're okay with, then we'll send you money. But we're not giving you money just because you're alive. Which is how we treat a lot of the citizens here, but I really don't think that, I think that civil war is fine, and I think the United States should fight everything economically. I really don't think we have to flex our muscle that much.
In this case, do you think that will work?
In almost any case. Yeah. I mean, look at
the first option, then.
But look at what we do to North Korea. I mean, they're crazy. You know, the Kim Jong-il is a wacky kind of guy.
Yeah.
And what we do is we just don't give him any money, and we're telling our allies.
From somewhere.
No, but we tell most of our allies, you know, don't give any money to him, or we're not going to be nice to you either. We're not going to give you. We're going to cut money from you.
And so far, that's working, and that's why we haven't had to go to a nuclear war
with Kim Jong-il. Well, I think that that's the way to do it. I think that economically, you can stretch your muscle without being military, having this military might and going in and shooting people and having our kids die. I'm telling you, I'm not embarrassed to say this. More than one night that I've cried in front of the TV. I see all these pictures of these 19, 20, 21-year-old people. I mean,
I care about the American dead.
I know, that's what I'm talking about.
No offense, or take offense if you want to. I don't care about the Iraqi dead.
Well, the Iraqi dead...
Any more than I care about the dead in the tsunamis. It's like, oh, well, it's sad, but...
I take it a little bit worse than that.
And
but,
girls.
But I take a look... And there was the story just this week that came out. I don't know if it was just this week that came out. I think it was a boy in Connecticut. It was right in the tri-state area somewhere, where he was in a tank... And someone threw a grenade in the tank, and it got lodged somewhere in the tank.
Oh, boy.
And he was trained that he should leave the tank, but he knew if he jumped out of the tank that his colleagues would be dead.
Oh, brother.
So he went, and he sat on the console and literally took the impact of the grenade and died and saved the lives of everyone else in the tank.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and that to me is so selfless, And we really lost a really great person for that. And I think
that's what war is. I mean, that happened in World War II also. I mean, it is...
Yeah, but in World War II, we were fighting for something...
Exactly.
A different type of... It was a threat to our own soil. And I agree with you. I think that we're a couple countries off. We should be bombing the crap out of Afghanistan and finding...
Well, further. In the hills of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I think if we really try, we found Saddam in a hole.
Yeah, we should be able to find old Bin if he still says. Well, he hasn't sent the videotape in a while. I think he's working on a 2
CD. But honestly,
set.
I really do think we should find Osama and then publicly put him in a street corner of New York so we can stone him to death.
Wow.
That's
ultra biblical, dude.
Oh, I truly believe that I think that everyone, not even just people who lost people. Should do it, but people who were affected by it, and I don't think there's anyone in New York City who was not affected by it, and for the most part, and also the country. But I really do believe we should just go and you get your aggression. You know, if you're pissed off at them, I say stone them. I want them to be. I really want them to be stoned, in the middle of New York City.
So hanging isn't...
Nope, it's an easy way out for him. I want to see him hurt. Oh. I want about 3,000 people to throw stones
at
him.
Oh, that would be ideal. Or however, the exact number of the people who are dying from the World Trade Center. Except you have to start adding the people who are dying of asthma and secondary complications.
That's our own fault, but that's a whole other subject.
To conclude this Dave Goes Off segment about the whole thing, you know, the thing was... The other thing about George Bush going out on this limb is that he has nothing to lose at this point. He's a lame duck.
Third term?
And okay, you can say that the Republican Party has something to lose because it's them, but they can always say once he's out of the presidency, look, he's gone, Condi's gone, all of them, Cheney, they're the old term. They did all these things, and now it's in the Democrats' lap because they were in control of the House and Senate for the previous 2 years. And the pundits are saying that if this pays off somehow for George, it'll be his legacy. And I say that will be the legacy of George Bush. What about the gas prices? What about Enron? What about soaring health care costs? What about growing gang violence and the growing gap between the rich and the poor? What about 9/11, which was on his watch, and the continued existence of bin Laden and his family? You know, we got out of Vietnam without the world collapsing or going communist. We can clear out of Iraq without the Middle East immediately imploding. And Israel, you know, still has Dimona, just in case things get a little bit out of control. You know, that little button they can push and just make sure everything comes out okay. Okay dead, but okay. So I still say he's just piling failure after failure after failure, which only means Jeb will probably win in 2008. But, you know, as they say, if you don't learn from history, et cetera, et cetera. Here's a little song from Tom Paxton, a fellow who was kind enough to appear on this program a couple of years ago, going back, 35, 40 years, see if you don't find some similar things going on in a very different war, in a very different time, with some very same stupid people.
And sank in mud up to my hips. I cut until the captain called me down. Never mind how hard it's raining. Think of all the ground we're clean. Just don't take one step outside of town. Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to believe. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 15,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. Local gentry step out past the sleeping sentry. They go out to join the OPG. In their nightly little dramas, they put on their black pajamas and come lobbing mortar shells at me. But Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnam. Helicopters like a bunch of big grasshoppers searching for the Viet Cong in vain. They left the note that they had gone. They had to get down to Saigon, their government's positions to maintain. And Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to flee. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnam. Well, here I sit in this rice paddy, wondering about Big Daddy, and I know that Lyndon loves me so. Yet how sadly I remember way back yonder in November when he said I'd never have to go. Well, Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to please. from missing you.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, indeed, Inside Broadway here on this January 14th. Dave Lefkowitz here with Jeff Goodman. Wanted to give you a heads up on what's happening on the stages of New York.
What's happening, Dave?
Well, first of all, the Las Vegas version of Spamalot was going to be opening March. They set the dates. And you know who's going to be King Arthur?
That would be John O'Hurley.
Good one. Yes, he's the guy from, well, I know him from Seinfeld.
And he's also hosting the Family Feud right now.
So, and now, do you know also what they're doing to Spamalot?
Probably cutting about an hour out of it.
Exactly. It's a one-act version. Going to be, I assume, glitzier, even though they're using the same set designers and stuff. But I guess they'll make it somehow fancier and bigger spectacle for Vegas, and yet get people to the gaming tables that much quicker.
That's right. Well, you know what else? The only full-size musical, the full-length musical, is going to be closing there soon.
Hairspray? Or
Mamma Mia.
Oh, really? Even that's going to be closing? Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, they've been having some trouble trying to get real Broadway music. Avenue Q turned out to be a flop there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're making that second push now. They're really trying to get the musicals in there. So they're doing The Producers, and they're going to be doing a couple of others pretty soon.
I think Hairspray.
Hairspray, and yeah. And aside from, obviously, the Cirque du Soleil stuff and that kind of...
Every show in Las Vegas is a Cirque du Soleil.
Other things that happened this week on Broadway, this was the last performance for Nathan Lane in Simon Gray's Butley. Recouped its budget. Now, it was a tough sell.
Yeah.
Except, I mean, it has Nathan Lane in it, but it's a tough little comedy drama.
It just proves that Nathan Lane will sell tickets,
and
that's good.
He did. It played 21 previews, 94 regular performances. Also...
And it had 400 sleeping people in the audience.
I really believe you had to see that play twice to appreciate it. You see it once, and you're kind of like, and then once you're used to it, and the rhythms of it, and the language, it's
didn't like it
good.
The second time, either.
Oh, except you didn't even see it the second
time. I did.
No, you saw it once with Simon Gray.
Right. No,
I saw
Simon Gray wrote it.
Right, I'm sorry. With, who's the guy? The original. Oh, come on, the famous actor.
Oh, him.
Yeah, okay. Anywho, also announced this week, Tony winner Lilias White is going to be in the York Theatre Company's off-Broadway premiere of Blind Lemon Blues. It's created by Alan Govenar and Akin Babatunde. Babatunde is going to play the lead role of Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Is Akin Babatunde, related to Oba
Babatunde? Gee, I want... Nah, he's related to Irving Babatunde.
You know what Oba Babatunde originated, don't you?
Where's that?
He's one of the original cast of Dreamgirls.
Oh, okay.
So I was serious. There is Oba Babatunde.
No, I know you weren't joking. I know that name. Yeah. I was joking about
Irving. He played Jennifer Holliday's brother, Effie's brother.
Right. So anyway, the show at the York Theater starts previews this week, February... No, it doesn't. It starts previewing February 15th.
But that would be in about a month, David.
Yeah, at the York Theater at St. Peter's. And then there was a little bit of sad news this week. We lost Broadway, not really known as a Broadway performer, more of a TV person. Jeff?
Yes, we lost Lily Munster.
Yeah, Yvonne DiCarlo.
Who's still there, in spirit.
In the spirit world.
Well, she was the one who she was the original cast of Follies, and she sang...
I'm Still Here, right?
No, it wasn't I'm Still Here.
Which one?
Oh, yeah, it is. It was on sale here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was hoping to have that to play, but I couldn't find a copy of that today.
Me neither.
Was she was the one who was a stripper, or was it the one who was in the Addams Family? I always get that.
She was in the Addams Family.
She
was the Munsters, I mean.
Well, was Yvonne DiCarlo the stripper who became an actress, or was it the actress in the Addams Family?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Morticia.
No, that Morticia was Caroline...
Herrera. No,
no, Caroline. Oh, my gosh, I can't think of her name.
Well, anyway, sorry, I'm sure you know at home or you're Googling at home.
She was not, why don't you Google there, but she was not in the Addams Family. She was Lily Munster.
Right. Yeah, I know Yvonne DiCarlo was Lily Munster, but I think she was a stripper before she became an actress. That's what I was trying to get across. I should have done a little more homework.
Wasn't she, I always thought she was, in silent movies or something.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, well, we miss her. We're sorry that she's gone.
We just don't know what she did. That was rough.
She and Cousin It.
Wrong show. That Cousin It was the
Adams
family.
It's been a while.
David, how can you get the Adam family and the
Munsters
confused?
I know. It's been a while since I've seen them both in syndication. Hey, before we get on to the end of the show, I do want to say a couple of words about a show I saw this week called No Child, which is playing downtown at the Barrow Street Theater on Barrow
Would that
Street.
Be on Barrow Street?
Yeah. Which, you know, when you hear that, where the hell is that? It's actually just a block away from the Christopher Street subway stop right off of 7th Avenue South.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a one-woman show.
On the one line.
Yes, the number one train.
You take the one train to Christopher Street and go one block south and you're there.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a pretty good... I think it actually has a lot of pretty good stuff there. And this is one of the better things that I've seen in a while, especially for a one-person show. And we've all seen these one-woman or one-man shows where the whole point is that to convince us that they're wonderful actors who can do 15 different characters and balance them and go from one to the other to the other. Bridge and Tunnel did that in sort of a slower way on Broadway last season. This has two other things working for it. Aside from the fact of the speed of which she goes from person to person to person.
Oh, really?
It's also the story of what she's... It's a wonderful, true story about how she became a teaching artist. And, like, the... Wasn't, she said it wasn't the worst. But to people like us, it would be the worst school in the Bronx. In the worst class in the worst school. In the Bronx, and had to go and try and do something artistic and creative and theatrical with these students who we, these are the people that we would look at them or see them on the subways and go, oh my God, you know, what are they going to be when they grow up besides, you know, number 82437 in a prison cell. So what she did, assumedly foolishly, for the class that she's reenacting here, was teach them in 6 weeks to get up there and perform a play called Our Country's Good by Timberlake Wurtenbaker.
Really?
She didn't do Raisin in the Sun, which she jokes about.
Of,
she didn't do...
Of all shows,
a bunch of white Australians, and she didn't even consider this, the fact that it's about a prison colony. And here are these kids who's were basically groomed from the minute they reach puberty or whatever just to become prisoners, either prisoners of their lifestyles or real actual prisoners of the streets.
Okay.
So she reenacts all these different students and all their eccentricities and all their crazinesses and dangerous things and just goofy things and the fact that makes them unteachable. And yet, somehow, it happened.
They performed Our Country's Good.
They perform in their way. some people couldn't make it that night because their parents had to make them watch their sons. One person had his brother shot to death that week, so he couldn't. I mean, it was just... All these things go on, and it's just so quick and so well told, and such a good and very touching and funny story. And it all goes by; it's about 75 minutes long.
Is there an intermission?
No, it just goes. You don't need one. You don't want one. It's just the story. So it is far superior than a lot of these already pretty good one-person shows.
And it being at the Barrow Street can't be that expensive.
These days. Well, the fact that it's a one-person show probably keeps the prices down a little
bit. So was it about $30?
$40? $50? $60? $70? Probably in the 30 to 60 range.
Okay.
But worth it. I mean, it's a very fine
And you might
piece.
Be able to get a half-price ticket at the TKTS booth?
Yeah, if you want to run... Or is there a downtown TKTS booth anymore?
Of course there is.
Where?
It's at the pier. What is that?
Oh, my gosh. 37? No, not pier.
No.
Peer pressure.
Oh, my God. At the South Street Seaport.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, anyway, highly recommended. No Child at the Barrow Street. I know, I think it's back in an open run, so you will have time to take it until she starts getting movie roles and they start asking her to adapt it into a film. And
well, people just stop coming to the show.
It probably will not. I mean, really? This is the kind of thing where the word of mouth builds and builds, and teachers come to see it, and et cetera, and so forth.
Maybe we should call them and see if we can get tickets to give away on Dave's Gone By.
What a lovely idea. I think that is a terrific
idea.
So
we get a groundswell of Long Island theatergoers to go see things that are not Beauty and the Beast and Lion King. And
nicely put. I wouldn't call her quite a beauty, but she has a certain beauty to her, and a whole room school full of beasts.
But we don't have to really keep bringing everything back to Broadway and Disney.
All right. Well, no, we have to keep bringing it back to our commercials before we have to leave here. So, we'll do a little more business and be back with the very end of this episode of Dave's Gone By. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TogoTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Well, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, MortgagesRock.com. God has a plan for you, giving your friends and family mortgage loans. Learn how at MortgagesRock.com. Fully licensed in New York State and in heaven. They'll teach you the ropes so you can climb Jacob's ladder to high, high, high commissions. Rockin' my mortgage, MortgagesRock.com, rockin' my mortgage, MortgagesRock.com, rockin' my mortgage, MortgagesRock.com. Everybody point and click. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Ah, what a fun and lively show we have had this week. And I don't say that facetiously. It's just between George Navrotis calling from Santo Domingo and giving us all those fun stories. Remember, George,
on a 2 second time delay.
Well, that, yeah, I hate that on TV, and I guess it's even worse on radio. But it was fun to talk to him anyway. There were 2 seconds to cogitate, to enjoy the distance between here.
You know, I hate it when you cogitate, Dave.
Yeah. Bring it back to that hand gesture you made right at the top of the program. But anyway.
Really? I didn't know that's where it was bringing it back to, but cogitate away.
Well, we cogitate at wowmysite.com. That's George's website. And I want to thank him so much for appearing on the program. I want to thank also, let's see, our sponsors, as ever, MortgagesRock.com, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
And the little smelly, but Charbroiled Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Yes, indeed, and
the I always forget about mine.
The Levitating Balloons of Fancy Schmancy, 516-797-3229. Jeff will be your centerpieces, your balloons. Well, no, I have it written down, but okay.
Oh.
I would have remembered it anyway. Eventually.
So what was that number again?
516-797-3229 for fancy schmancy balloons. I want to thank also my wife, Joyce Weil. Another couple of days, and it's D-Day. Her dissertation finished.
It'll be dissertation done.
Oh, God willing. Thank you. Yay. Love you, baby. Congratulations.
And we want to thank Dave's parents for dealing with him.
Yeah, well, anybody for dealing with me.
Yes.
Momentarily. Thank you to Vic Fusco. Well, no, thank you, but listen to Vic Fusco. Sunday nights at 9 for Swing City Vic, an hour of swing music.
How about Joyce Keller?
Wednesday nights at 11, she's the radio psychic.
Woo! And she still has yet to call in because I've been psychically asking her to call in for, like, weeks.
You must be on the HD wavelength of her brain. She's tuned to the stereo. And she
I am high definition.
There you go. Catch Vintage Dave's Gone By Thursday and Saturday nights at 11 on DFSX Radio. Find out more at davesgoneby.org. And listen to The Big Time with Jeff and me. It's our new show, and we have a live episode coming up Friday, this Friday, the 19th.
So get some sleep early.
Starts at 3 in the morning and goes till 6:30.
And we'll be giving away prizes and some cash.
Well, you're giving away cash? I'm calling in. Again, you do the show yourself. I'll call and get cash.
Okay.
All right, bye. Anyway, and if you cannot, absolutely cannot listen when it's live, the WUSB website will stream it on their website for another 7 days.
But you can't win the cash.
No, you've got to be live to call in to win. Anyway, we're going to go out on this episode number 203. Well, going back to the war just for a moment or two, with a Tom Waits number. This is a magnificent song. I'll dedicate it to all the folks who are either over in Baghdad or any grunt unlucky enough to be stuck between Iraq and a hard place. Jeff and I will be back here next week, God willing, January 21st, 2007, with a 204th edition of Dave's Gone By, a pre-birthday show for me. My birthday is coming up next week.
Dave's going to be 500.
A Methuselahic birthday program. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
And whether you're lucky enough to be living in Santo Domingo or one of the unlucky 21,500, we wish you a good night, good luck, happy Martin Luther King Day, have a dream.
And gone by. Mm-hmm.
got your letter today, and I miss you all so much, yeah. I can't wait to see you all, and I'm counting the days, yeah. I still believe that there's gold at the end of the world, and I'll come home to Illinois on the day after tomorrow. It is so hard and it's cold here, and I'm tired of taking orders, and I miss old Rockford Town up by the Wisconsin border. But I miss you, won't believe, shoveling snow and raking leaves, and my plane will touch down on the day after tomorrow. Close my eyes every night, and I dream that I can hold you. They fill us full of lies, everyone lies about what it means to be a soldier. I still don't know how I'm supposed to feel about all the blood that's been spilled. Will God on His throne get me back home on the day after tomorrow? You can't deny it. I'm trying to see is, don't they pray to the same God that we do? Tell me, how does God choose? Whose prayers does He refuse? Who turns the wheel? Who throws the dice? After the day after tomorrow.